Yoo-hoo.
Yeah. So, no. So pride is one of the things that God hates. Now, there has to be some elements there why God hates pride. There has to be a reason. And we would think maybe it's basically because we lift ourselves above God. But man doesn't really think when he's very proud that he's even putting God into the position. God's nowhere around. It's just them. It's their lives. It's the way they are, sometimes with tendencies they have. But pride not only hurts us spiritually, and we'll talk a bit about that, but pride hurts us in other ways because it keeps us from being free. You know, this is the problem with all of these things that God says to put off. Tells us not to get into that. Tells us not to be part of that. Don't let that part of your nature take you over. Because he knows that when it does, you become a slave to it. Not in the true sense of what you think a slave as far as, you know, chained and shackled and people beating. I'm not talking about that kind of slave. I'm talking about the kind of slavery that makes you keep doing things over and over, that keeps you from being able to attain some things that are so good because you are bound by this disposition in your life. Now, we think, what is pride? Pride actually is something that we have to have a little bit of, or we have to have some of it. We have to sort of put them in the right categories. Pride is something that lifts our self-worth to a certain extent. That's a positive pride. We don't want to go around thinking that we're nothing. We are something because God chose us. And I would degrade myself a lot. And I have to stop now and stop myself. That's so silly. That's so foolish. What'd you do that for, Schwartz? I know none of you have said that. But anyhow, I had to learn that I am part of God's kingdom. As a child of God, we have a position. Not in this world. But we have a position in the kingdom of God. We have worth. Not in ourself in the sense of how much my bank account is or how much my power is or how much that I can, I feel satisfied with myself. No, not that. We're talking about the fact that in God we are worth the whole world. He would have come and gave his life just for you. And so if we can get our hands around that, if we can get our mind focused to that, but we really have problems doing that. Because in our humanity and for all the years, we have had so many ideas and thoughts and even false lies that we've been believing that it's so hard to get ourselves in the spiritual realm to recognize what we are in Christ. So there needs to be, we have to understand and accept ourselves. I have to accept myself with this big nose. That's a German nose. I have to accept myself with my eyebrows going up and down now. You know, they're growing, you know, they don't stay in their place they should. They tell me I can get them waxed, but I don't want to get them waxed. You know, I have to, whatever I am. Now, I was always big. Now, I don't mean just a little overweight. I weighed 250 pounds at one time. I mean, I was a bruiser. And so I realized I didn't accept myself too well then. I realized that when you're so big, I knew I couldn't fight, so I just joined them. I would make fun of myself. But basically, and everybody would laugh about it, you know. But basically, what I was showing was that I really didn't have much regard for myself. And some of you may be in that same place. So actually, you need a little bit of God's pride in your life to recognize your worth. To recognize, you say, but I don't feel like I'm worth. You are. You're very worthy in God's eyes. The more you love him, the more you obey him, the more it's going to become something that's very real in your life. So that's the kind of pride God wants us to have. But he doesn't want us to have that conceited, superior worth that I'm a little better than you are. I'm a step higher, or I'm three steps higher, whatever. But those that are proud, you know, when I was younger, I wouldn't do it now, and I didn't do it then. I just thought about it. But when I would see some woman come in looking so proud, I remember it was in a restaurant. She was looking so proud. Oh, my dear. I mean, she let you know that she was worth something and that, you know, she was something. And in my heart, suddenly, I thought, I wished I could trip her. You know, the Bible says pride cometh before fall, but he didn't tell us to make him fall, you know. But that's sort of the feeling sometimes you get. But people can be very proud without looking proud. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Humility is a spirit of respectful, what shall I say, being respectful and being sort of trying to differentiate. In other words, we give to people. Humility is a sense that we know who we are. We know who we are in God. But we accept the fact that we are his children. And because he was meek, because he gave to others and allowed them, that you and I, if we're going to be humble, we're going to have to be respectful, not only to God, but to people. We're going to have to be those that defer to others rather than to ourselves. Now, you say, how can you do that? There are times when people say things that can hurt us. But instead of picking it up, we turn it and we allow that and actually are nice to the people. We're sort of deferring that. We're sort of giving them the right. Because, you see, we have this inalienable thing that we get, particularly as Americans, that we have our rights. I'd like to know how many rights you have today. They're passing all kind of bills. You can't do a thing about it. But anyhow, we Americans think that, and I'm all over, people feel that way. I don't know anybody that don't think they're right, unless they're very, very, they have very little self-worth. So we have to recognize then that this is the view of humility that God wants us to have. And I've learned something in it. And this is one of the things that I hope I can get through in the rest of this class, that when we are respectful, when we have meekness. Now, meekness is not a wet blanket that can be tread on. Meekness is strength. The strength to be able to allow others when we would rather be ourselves, or we would rather have it ourselves. That meekness is deferring to the others. And this is what, and there is something about that that gives an inner strength. It doesn't push us down. It gives us an inner strength. So we have to recognize then that humility is good for our health. You say good for our health? Yes. You know, Sulian and I went on a trip from last Wednesday until we got back yesterday. Now, we're two different persons altogether. And she's driving, and you know, and there were sometimes there could have been little frictions if we allowed it over whatever, you know, little things. We chose to have peace. We chose not to think about this, or she said that I didn't think it was, or, you know, particularly when you're going along and there's different things that come up. I'm not talking about anything big, but I'm talking about little things. Little things that I could have gotten moody over. Now, when I say that, that means that I didn't like what she said, and I'm going to let her know by my actions, not my words. That's moodiness, you know? But the fact was, who would be hurting me? I'd be sitting there. But she came in, when we got in on Saturday night, we parked the car. She said, this has been wonderful. She said, it's been so happy, so joyful. We've had such a good time. We've laughed. We've had no troubles. I thought, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. I didn't have my stomach charring because I was angry. I didn't have that thing that I was going over and over in my mind. I told her she should have stopped. She didn't stop. You know how you go through those things. You know, those are the things what I'm trying to tell you, that a sense of God's humility keeps us healthy, keeps us cheerful, keeps us enjoying life. Because who enjoys life when people are moody, when people are angry, when and you're in such a closed, in a car? Listen, I traveled, how many was it? I traveled, there was eight of us, I think, eight Taiwanese girls and myself in a van. Plus, we had tables, we had setups, we had loudspeaking systems. I'm in all of their luggage. I mean, we were crowded wall-to-wall type of thing. Now, those girls were girls that they were girls. And you know they don't always agree. You know, they really don't. But I had a wonderful trip because I couldn't understand Chinese. And I didn't want to understand Chinese. If they had troubles, they could come tell me about it. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. We don't have to jump into everything that comes along. We just, in ourselves, we have a respect for others. They have a right to say what they want to say. You know, they have a right to choose what they want. Maybe I don't like it. And then I might find out, ooh, she was right. Have you ever done that? Get upset, get a little moody, and then find out the person was right. That's a bad feeling. Anyway, we have to understand. So that is one of the senses of humility. Now, negative humility is when we feel inferior, subservient. We feel we're below. Don't feel that way. Now, I know you can't help it sometimes, most of the time, because incidents in our life, back, way back again, there are people who made us feel inferior. I watch it. I watch it till today. I was eating in Cracker Barrel. I was by myself. Sue Lynn wanted to sleep. And as I sat there, there was a family sitting there. Now, the woman was a white woman, and she had two white daughters. They looked like maybe they were 8 and 10, 11, something like that. And then she had two black children that were about maybe a year and a half, 2 years old, and maybe 3.5 years old. And then her mother-in-law and father-in-law were sitting there. They were black. And I don't observe clothes, but I can observe people's feelings or actions. And I could see that there was problems there. And I could see that the two little girls, the older girls, were really in a place where they were getting hurt. They wanted something that the grandfather got a great big dessert with strawberries and ice creams and all this thing, and they sat there watching him. One little girl wanted to, she told him, oh, I really like strawberries and ice cream. You know, she was sort of a hint. But finally, she sort of wanted to have some. No, she couldn't have any. And I thought to myself, what are those two girls going to go through as they grow up, if this is a situation in their where they're living? They're going to feel very inferior. They're going to feel like they're below their brother and sister because he's got the father is theirs, you know, his the children's father. And so we have case after case after case all over of people, children and young people and adults that have gone through some things you wouldn't believe. John Kennedy, the old man Kennedy. He was John too, I think, wasn't he? Anyway, the old man Kennedy at one time was one of the richest men in America. And he was very demanding. And I saw a picture where he was demanding something of Bobby, the one that got killed. That was they wanted to be the Secretary of State or Justice or whatever it is. Anyway, he died, of course. He got killed. But before that, as that father was planning John Kennedy, the one that was president, his campaign, and he spoke to that Bobby Kennedy. I mean, he really told him, you should have done this, and the boy had tried. You should have done that. He really ripped him up one side and down another. Plenty of money, plenty of prestige, but I'm sure that Bobby Kennedy had a lot of hurts. So you see, it doesn't matter what part of society you're in. And what it matters many times is the fact that things happen in your young life or in your school with a teacher. It could happen under any circumstances that you have feelings in you that you're not even aware of sometimes, but that have made you feel inferior. Anyway, that's not humility. Inferiority is not humility. So we understand then that the fact of the negative and the positive parts of both pride and humility. But as we go on down, I want to talk a little bit about pride. Now, this is the worldly sense of pride. And we see that when a person is proud, they never admit a weakness. When you never admit a weakness, you never can get help. When you're always, whatever I said, whatever I did, that okay, it may have, but it's the best. So when you are proud, you may, if you are, you might say, well, I don't know if I am proud. Well, listen today, and maybe you'll find out. Never admits a weakness. Holds on to your rights. There was a story one time about a man and his wife that went fishing. Now, they were always arguing. And while they were in the fishing boat, of course, it wasn't any different. But this time, they were arguing over something about scissors. And he got so mad that it seems like he got up or something and the boat tilted over and his wife fell in. And she went down the first time. She came up and what she said was not help. Scissors! And then she went down the second time and she got up and she gurgled. So she's trying to, went down the third time, which she never came up, but she was going down doing this. Yeah, their rights. They know it. They hold on to their rights no matter if it costs their marriage. They'll hold on to their rights whether it costs their job because they are proud. They're superior. They seek vindication at all costs. If it's a proud person that you work for and you do something that hurts them, like the Chinese says, it hurts their face, they're going to get back at you one way or another. There's no love for their brethren. To those who are jealous people, they're going to get back. If it takes me a whole lifetime, I'll get back at them. They seek recognition and praise for themselves. They like it when people lift them up. They're the kind that will go and sit at the table, head table, before they're put there. They're the ones that feel that you and feel that they expect these things. And so we see that they seek worldly knowledge. They want to be intelligent. They want you to think they know everything. They have that feeling, well, I know. Even when they don't know, they know. They just have that way, and they seek knowledge, and this is a desire of theirs because they want to come off not only wealthy, they want to come off with power, that they would enjoy that. And they can be as poor as a church mouse, but that's still the desire in their heart. This one, they do not accept advice from others. Now, men, I'm not saying that you are proud. But I do want to ask you why, when you're traveling on a trip and you get lost, you won't ask anybody. There must be a reason. That's because your wife is over there telling you, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, and you're not going to let her think that she's right. Now, I know that's not all men. I'm just teasing. But there's a lot of men that will go a long ways without asking anybody because they know they can find it. We'll find it. I'll find the way, you know. But I'm only teasing about that. But they just don't want other people's advice. That's all right. I know what I'm doing. I don't want anybody's advice. I can do it myself. I can find a way myself. And this is really pride. They compare themselves with others. She's a pretty nice woman, but I tell you the truth, she doesn't have the culture that I have. You know, I like her, but if she had a better personality like mine, she would get along much better. You know? It's that sense that you compare yourselves with others. And there many of them are very open with it. Well, I can do that better than anybody here. I think many of you have seen Fireproof, haven't you? That film, Fireproof? Well, in that film, there was a fellow that bragged all the time about everything. I mean, he was greater than any of the guys there, and he would tell his chief, and his chief got tired of it. And one day, he brought out some hot sauce, two bottles of hot sauce. And he said, now we're going to see who is the best. Because he was best at everything, the other fellow, you know? So they sat out, and the boss, he just took his and drank it down and drank some more, you know, that kind of thing, but could drink it right down. 24 seconds, I think it was. So he said, okay, now it's your turn. But the other fellow really had hot sauce. And he began to drink it down, but it wasn't tomato juice. So he's... But he's got to do it because he says he can do it. He's going to do it faster than the other. And then he finally got that thing down. Off he ran and said, my mouth is burning. Later on, the fellow said, you know, I had tomato juice and that man was so bad. But what I'm trying to say there, he was so proud. He could do everything better than anyone else. And even when he's burning, his mouth is burning, his stomach's burning, he's still going to try to show them he's better, and he's still greater than the other fella. Well, that's I'm afraid, many times what proud people are like. They think highly about themselves in order to achieve a good image. They think highly of themselves. I often watch the documentary about the bosses that go undercover. Have you ever seen it? These big bosses of big companies, I mean, real big companies, they go undercover. But bless my soul, I have watched them, and they can't do anything that the people can do. They can't. Several times they've been fired from the job because they can't do it. But here you have those that are CEOs that think that they're probably much better than their employees. And then when they get down there, they can't even do what the employees do. But they think very highly about themselves. They have achieved. They have a good image. But maybe if you only knew, they weren't really much inside. Well, anyway, they desire the approval of others. They work for that. They're proud. They want others to be able to approve of them. And really, this is one of the areas of pride that they reach out for, work very hard for, will put their families aside, won't even really have much time or much work with their families because they're seeking for approval. Wherever the boss wants, whatever he wants, they're going to get that approval. They find greatness many times over exercising their power over others. And this is something that many times at your work, you can find very hard when you have a proud people there. They find greatness over exercising power over others. They don't have to have the position. But there's many that, you know, here's a girl that or a man that's late every once in a while, seemingly more than others because he has trouble in the traffic, it seems, and can't make it. But then some of their coworkers will use that to the boss. Well, he's always late. I'm never late. You know, she wants them to know that that's the weakness of him, but he has strength. And they perceive humility as weakness. When somebody is humble, when somebody is meek to them, when somebody allows them, they think you're weak. But remember, humility is not weak. It takes strong people to be humble. And so these are some of the perspectives of the thinking of those who are proud. And so if you would analyze these as we have talked about them, you would begin to see how much of life you're going to have problems. You're going to miss. I love having advice from others. Now, that sounds stupid, but I have learned the hard way that I don't know everything. When I went to pastor in Grand Cayman, they had a nice-sized board. They had a big church, fairly good-sized church, parsonage and all that went with it. And when I went to the board the first time, I saw they were a yes board. You know, they stamped everything, yes, because I guess the other missionary had been pretty powerful. But I didn't want that. I mean, I would go, and I would have my plan already, but I wanted them to put their input in it so we could sort of, you know, sort of push it out, get it bigger, and they might see things I don't see. And that, you, this is the kind of thing that always pleased me. So I began to work on them. But let me tell you, by the time I left, I would come in after a board meeting, get down and say, Lord, please take away my call. Please let me go. They got too strong, but that was my fault. But that was wonderful. I was glad for it because I feel like when we can pull each other's advice together, we're a better people. And we really can go further ahead and enjoy much more. So I really think that there are things within this disposition, the sinful disposition that hinders our life. I know it hinders us from growing. These people will not, proud people will not grow. They'll fight their way up. They'll cheat their way up. They'll want that power. They'll show their superiority, but they never grow. They never mature in their lives. They really don't know how to be able to go with the flow. They're going to try to make the flow the way they want it. And they're losing out in many perspectives. So let's go on now to the other one that we have here. And that's spiritual heart of humility. Now, I like to tell you that actually it takes God to help us to be humble. It does. All of us would have... You know, I've learned in going to foreign countries. Take Haiti. Now, every one of you think it's very poor, and it is. I live there. I know. I've seen them going over the dumps, getting food out of the dumps. Then I found out what some of it was they were getting. Some of the things they were getting was orange peelings, because they could sell them back to the company, and the company would make marmalade. So when you have marmalade, you may have it from the dump in Haiti. I'm not sure. But anyhow, when they are very, very poor. I tell you, it really hurt my heart when I would see them. But even as poor as they were, they always had a maid. The poorest of them would get a friend who had children and take one of their children to be their maid, to go run for them and things like that. So there is a sense in people that always wants to have somebody underneath of them. That's why the black people will tell you about the dirty whites, the poor whites. You see, the poor whites, as far as the black people are concerned, are beneath them. And I can understand. They want somebody under them too. So this is the nature of man. The sinful nature of man desires that we can lift ourselves up. And we can be, what shall I say, greater at least than someone else. Well, let's look at what God thinks of, or as people think of. We delight in your weakness. Now, Paul said that. Now, this is something that you have to live a little while to understand. You have to go through some things. There has to be a sense within you of submission to God. That's why he says to us, you've got to give me your love, your heart, your spirit, your body. I have to be the center. I have to be the one in control, because he knows we can't control ourselves. He knows that the only way that we can live life to its fullest, because he said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And he knows the only way you and I can live is not from the impurities of these things in our heart, but to have our heart pure so that we can then be able to come and do what God wants us to do. You know, Paul said, I delight in my weakness. Now, Paul was not a weak man. I think if Paul had any problems, it was try to keep himself weak, try to keep himself humble, because Paul had many things under his belt that he could boast on. But he said, I really delight in my weakness. Why? Because he found out that in his weakness, he gained strength. What kind of strength? His faith in God strengthened. Well, I just take one of his weaknesses that he talked about himself. He said, I have a weakness of the flesh, a thorn in my flesh that Satan keeps troubling me with. 3 times I have asked God to take it away. And 3 times, and God said to him, my grace is sufficient. And in that weakness, he was able to find strength. Now, there are those who feel like his weakness was his eyes. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But if it was his eyes, how did that help Paul? Well, it made Paul depend on others. Paul had to get others to write his epistles. He would say, I've not written this in my own hand. Or Titus has written this. Paul learned in that, if we would take that weakness, and suppose it was, he would learn in that weakness that he had to depend on others. And Paul was of such a personality and tendency that I believe Paul could have gone on without depending on anybody. But, you know, God helps us to realize that in humility that we need to depend on one another. And there is something very special about that. It's not weakness. In depending on someone, that person gains a sense of respect. You know, they need me. I have found this. When I'm in China, I have a lot of people that want to help me. Oh, a lot of them. They're very courteous. They're very loving. There's always one to help me up and down steps. And instead, some of the men, they grab me like this, and I'm going up there like this. But the ones I really like are the little girls. The young girls, you know, they're nice and thin in China. So here's one on each side of me taking me down. And I think to myself, Lord, if I fell, I'd probably kill them. I'd take them down with me and maybe fall on them, you know? I don't know how they got there. But anyhow, people like to feel that you need them. I've had to fight with that in myself because I've been very independent through my life, very independent. And God has had to show me that I need to depend on others. And it's been very hard for me. Even today, you ask Mrs. Shi, I won't hardly ask anything of her. They have to do it. And she said that to her daughter one time, you know. But that's just me. But I try. I'm trying more and more to be able to accept the help from others. And I sense that it makes them feel good. It makes them feel that they are wanted. That makes them feel that they're capable. So in the fact that we can delight in our weakness, even with Paul, it may have been that area that God helped him in. But I'll tell you another thing. Sometimes we have a sin, truly a addiction. We have some kind of weakness that really has gripped hold of us. And we have seen God take that weakness and make it a strength. I have one course in AAC, and it's called sexual abuse. Now, the man the one that's in charge of this particular area, was one time a sex addict. He was a preacher. He was a counselor, and yet this is the kind of life he was living. But when he finally got caught and helped, he was happy to get caught, and someone helped him. And through that weakness and through that help, and with his wife, together they worked on it until that has become his strength. He goes around talking to men and women, whoever, and in these courses and teaching them how God brought him out and how God has given him, and it's become his strength. So actually, you and I, We can delight in our weaknesses and not feel that we're weak. You yield your personal rights. Now, that's not always easy, but it always works. It keeps down an argument. It really helps you. You know, what does that? You know, we have got to begin to think in our mind that there are some things that it doesn't matter. It's not a big thing. There have been divorces over little things that they wouldn't give up. And a lot of things doesn't matter one little bit, but we make them matter. And we make them into big things. We make them these little molehills into mountains because that we don't want to yield our personal rights. But when we yield them, God gives us strength to do it, and he uses that. We wait on God's for his revenge. If anything happened, he said, don't let it upset you. I am the one that can revenge. And when you can stop that in your mental processes, let me tell you, this old mind of ours keeps us pretty busy. It can keep us pretty low. It can tell us lies that gets us in trouble. And so when you allow that thing to replay over and over in your mind, you become a prisoner of that. You come in bondage to that. So what's the best way to do it? Let it go. Ask God to help you. And when it comes to you, don't think about it. Push it aside. You said, I can't. Yes, you can. I believe I've had OCD. I've had all of the character, or a lot of the characteristics. I was terrible about that. I had such guilt. I had these things running over and over in my mind. But God showed me, don't accept them. So I began to push it out of my mind. And when I started to feel guilty, I say, no, I'm not accepting it. And before long, it was gone. And I want to tell you, this is what God can help you. He can take that out when you stop playing it over and over in your mind. Because what's in the mind will get to the heart. And then it'll be bitterness and hurts and all that goes with it. But God wants something different than that. Let praise come from someone else. You know, sanguines would have a hard time with this. Now, sanguines are those who are very outgoing, very funny, likes the people to laugh. But they also like to have people lift them up. That's why I think sometimes they make people laugh at them, because they like that thing that they laugh and they feel they're accepted with it. Maybe not all sanguines, but some sanguines. This one, okay? This sanguine. And so I recognize that through the years I have had to press down that. So we have to, you see, this is the thing that I know my church. They felt like when you got saved and you sanctified, you never were bothered with these things. But then life came along. And step by step, and problems and weaknesses, and they had to face them. And when we don't know how to face them, they bring us down. That's why I teach this. That's why I feel very strongly that if we as Christian people can learn and understand this, we'll be better examples of Christ. We'll be healthier. We'll enjoy life more. You just enjoy life more. So let God take care of the offenses. Don't be quick to look. You know, there's coffee time. But I know that many people get very easily offended. That's so miserable. Don't allow it. When people say things and the hurt comes, ask God to help you, and then don't let yourself think about it. You said, can you do that? You know what they tell us with OCD? They say, keep a list of words with you. And whenever those thoughts come to you, replace that with memorizing one of those words. And by the time you go over it several times, that guilt's gone. And I think if you are a moody person and those moods start to hit you, begin to not allow it and begin to think of something else. Wonderful to be able to quote God's word. It will help you. Well, anyway, that's I was going to say breakfast, but that's That's our lunchtime, so go get your coffee. I really thank you for being here. I hope that God really helps us to get one thing. You know, I've learned a long time, you don't get much of whatever you get, but if you get one thing, I'm very happy about it. So, God bless you. See you next week.
More than one thing.
More than one thing.